Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for people who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly. The satire, that is.
I'm Tony Hendra, and this is the Final Edition Radio Hour. Welcome to our first recorded show of 2018. Last year, the Final Edition vowed that rather than satirizing the Swamp Thing in the White House, a terrible waste of high-quality satire, we won't ever do sketches about it. It worked. The Swamp Thing doesn't mention us either. We want to take that up a notch. Later this month, we'll be launching a campaign to get all you millions of fans, just for one day, to ignore it too. Hashtag ignore the moron. Imagine how great it'll be when it hears not word one about itself. No one reporting, no one retweeting, no one bitching even, for an entire 24 hours. Okay, so look for that. Hashtag ignore the moron. Okay, this podcast kicks off with a few sketches from the archive which demonstrate A, what political obscenities to expect in the months to come, and B, how little the political obscenities change when the GOP continues its century-long effort to end democracy as we know it. Yeah, that's our job here on the Final Edition Radio Hour.
And now a message from Freedom Industries in West Virginia.
Mr. Freedom, I've lived in Charleston, West Virginia my whole short life, but my town has never smelled so delicious. What's going on?
Well, Timmy, we at Freedom Industries have inadvertently leaked a delicious chemical into the water, a magical, wonderful scrum-tastic syrup called 4-methylcyclohexane methanol.
It smells like licorice. Can I drink it?
Good God, no.
But it makes the town smell like Candyland.
More than that, Timmy, it makes the town smell like freedom. Freedom from oversight. Freedom from eco-terrorists. Freedom from liberals. Freedom from Obamacare.
Freedom from tumors?
Sorry, Timmy. Freedom isn't free.
But they hurt so much.
You know, Timmy, we've got a pretty nice little country here. Except for the majority of the population, which voted for that Kenyan fella. But we've all got to make sacrifices for freedom. And Freedom Industries.
What are you sacrificing, Mr. Freedom?
Well, I have to give up going anywhere within 50 miles of your wonderful, wonderful town. But more than that, Freedom Industries will have to give up its name for a while.
Oh, Mr. Freedom.
I know, Timmy, but until that heavenly stench of licorice completely dissipates, and it's so pretty deep in the ground, so, you know, Freedom Industries is going to have to call itself something else. Maybe Liberty Industries, or Unconstrained Industries, or Carte Blanche Industries. Ooh, I like that one.
How about Super 5 Happiness Remember 9/11 Industries?
Good one, Timmy. We're all gonna miss you.
But Mr. Freedom, will freedom be gone forever?
No, Freedom Industries will never die. Just all the plant life surrounding it.
Freedom Industries of West Virginia. They may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom! Industries.
Now House Speaker Ryan has got his wonderful, wonderful tax bill passed, he's moving on to his absolutely brilliant scheme to finish off Obamacare and smother Medicare with a pillow. But what will he replace them with? Our strong powers and Pepper Lewis caught up with Speaker Ryan in the House gym.
Congressman, what is your rationale for doing away with Obamacare?
And what is your dramatic new proposal for reforming Medicare?
Strong and Pepper, as a devout Catholic, I believe that our health comes from God. And that health has to be earned.
How do you earn health?
Clean living and good works.
And that will keep ailing Americans alive?
For 200 years, Americans of all denominations survived on reliable, sometimes miraculous, cures based on fervent prayer. If they hadn't, there'd be no United States. As good conservatives, we need to get back to that simple trust. I intend to replace Obamacare and Medicare with a faith-based system of healing called Metaprayer.
You expect miracles to work in the 21st century?
How has the church survived 2,000 years? Why are the Southern Baptists bigger than ever?
Because they eat at Chick-fil-A?
We'll bring faith-based healing into the 21st century. Every Metaprayer will include the exact nature of a patient's medical condition so God's attention can be focused with laser-like precision on a cure.
Can you give us an example?
Right here on Skype, meet Dr. Phil Faustus, Professor Emeritus of Faith-Based Oncology at Bob Jones University. Dr. Faustus, heal thy patient.
O Lord, shower thy faithful patient Tabitha McGee, age 64 of Tallahassee, diagnosed with inoperable stage 4 esophageal cancer, in the supremo chemo of thy mercy. Shrink to nothing the 2.4 centimeter malignant tumor in the C3 vector of her squamous tissue with the blazing light of thy divine radiation. Amen.
I'm cured. Praise Jesus. That old demon's flying right out of my windpipe.
See, according to accredited, non-indicted GOP medical consultants, Metaprayer cure rates will kill those now claimed by wasteful Medicare providers, and at a fraction of the cost, except for Tabitha's copay.
Put the bills in the bucket, honey.
So Metaprayer comes up with miraculous cures. What about prevention?
Holy pictures, pilgrimages to Lourdes, above all, those lovely images of the Virgin that appear in cornflakes, rust stains, used diapers.
Jesus, you're replacing effective healthcare by exploiting the desperation of the poor and aged.
Hey, I prayed to an image of the Virgin just yesterday in the second quarter receivables liabilities curve of Koch Industries, and my reflex problem cleared up like that.
Wow, really? You know, I get terrible reflux.
That's no miracle. You're an extremely wealthy young man who can afford to stay in shape.
You know why I glow with health, Pepper? Because my heart is pure. Speaking of Jesus, Metaprayer draws its power from his awesome miracles.
Jesus didn't charge for curing the sick.
We don't know that. When Christ returns, I'm sure he'll charge competitive fees for miraculous services.
You gotta admit, Pepper, miraculous healthcare, especially with Jesus 2.0, will make great television.
Ugh, I give up. Men are morons.
My fellow Americans, we are a Christian nation. And faithful Christians don't really need that much medical care. This life is just preparation for the next. That's why God wants you to repeal Obamacare and get on the fast track to heaven now.
It's time for the final edition Radio Hour's The Final Word. Tonight we hear from David Koch, who together with his brother Charles is the third richest man in the United States. Mr. Koch would like to put in a good word for our much-respected oligarchy.
Good evening. I'm David Koch. Some political commentators in the U.S. noting the wave of rebellions against the status quo sweeping across the world from the Middle East to Russia to the United Kingdom and elsewhere have wondered about the possibility of similar upheavals in the U.S., which could challenge the control of the country by us, its corporate oligarchy. Happily, this will never happen. Here in the U.S., the unemployed poor, working poor, and soon-to-be poor, a.k.a. the middle class, who constitute some 85% of its population, have been successfully convinced by our, let's call them messengers in the media, on television, on radio, and increasingly in the internet, that they too can become millionaires and multimillionaires on the same order as we oligarchs. Therefore, because they hope to avail themselves of it in the future, they support the openly corrupt system by which the oligarchy continues to enrich itself. Enriching it still further, the lower classes support policies to reduce or eliminate the, let's be frank, laughably minimal taxes paid by our members. They even support some moves by our hand-picked political representatives to eliminate government programs that might relieve them of their poverty, misery, and chronic stress by ensuring them the basic human rights to jobs, homes, education, and health care. Instead, they accept as their lot in life all-consuming worry about jobs, homes, education, and health care, leaving them no time or energy to investigate or fight for alternative ways of living. We call this system freedom. Amazingly, through incessant sentimental appeals to bogus patriotism, which we neither feel nor believe in, we have even convinced the poor that freedom is worth dying for. In short, the poor and middle class, rather than rebelling against the oligarchy, which, let's continue being frank and open here, is responsible for impoverishing them, cling to the cretinous fantasy that people who regard as their inalienable right amassing as much of the nation's wealth as they possibly can will somehow allow them to acquire wealth commensurate with their own. We call this massive delusion the American dream. Freedom and the American dream ensure that the ever poorer working and middle classes will never feel anger against us, but instead blame one another for their increasing misery and poverty. They are encouraged in this collective error by our aforementioned hand-picked political representatives and messengers in the media, dissipating into futile infighting and finger-pointing the righteous rage which is a prerequisite of true revolution. Revolution which could transform their lives, strip us of our admittedly ludicrous wealth, perhaps even imprison or execute some of us, is thus not only impossible in our system, but as the popular saying goes, who needs it? We've already had our revolution more than 200 years ago, and it didn't work. Thank you, the final edition, for this opportunity to reassure you that here in America, all is well.
David Koch is a corporate executive and effective owner of the David Koch Theater at Lincoln Center, formerly the property of the citizens of New York State.
Hi, I'm Stone Peck for the final edition. As part of our series, America, Show Us Your Guns, I'm traveling to the Midwest to experience how responsible gun owners actually use the weapons they're so passionate about. Today, I'm in Michigan's Upper Peninsula with local hunter Dickie Duncan, and we're after some bobtail deer. Dickie, why deer?
'Cause the place is overrun with them suckers. They need a cull, and I'm the guy to cull them.
What weapon from your extensive collection are you using today?
This here is a so-called assault weapon, an AK-47 with a 50-round mag.
That's a lot of gun.
This is the minimum firepower you need in the lopsided battle between man and beast. Hunters need assault weapons to bring down the tougher, faster, cannier, more evolved, and elusive deer of today.
There's a fine-looking buck over there, Dickie. That's gotta be a three-pointer. Check out that rack.
Where? Where?
In that clearing, dead ahead, about 15 yards away.
Right. I thought that was a bush. Shit. I'm out of shells. How did I do?
You missed completely. You winged an oak, though.
The odds are always against the hunter. I need a bigger mag. This here is a 100-round mag.
He's still there in the clearing. In fact, he hasn't moved.
Aw, shit. He's walking away. And I'm out of shells again.
Well, you shot the ground up pretty good. Wow, that's wild asparagus. That's really rare. Dickie, you shot some wild asparagus for dinner.
I'm on a caveman diet. No vegetables. What you non-hunters don't realize is these animals are a cunning and formidable adversary. I need more firepower.
What's this now?
This here is a multiple grenade launcher. Lays down a 50-yard diameter kill zone. Nothing can stay alive in it. Whoa! Check out that groundhog!
Well, what if it's Puck's Tawny Pete?
We're in Michigan. Did I bag the groundhog?
He'll spend the rest of his life in a wheelchair.
Yay! Fucking A!
And you've started a forest fire.
See, this is why you can't put controls on our hunting arsenals. We got a Second Amendment right to whatever weapon gets the job done. Tell that to your tree-hugging listeners.
You just did, Dickie. From the Michigan Killing Fields, I'm Stone Peck for the final edition.
Hi, I'm Tim Cook, CEO of Apple. Apple is proud to put one of Steve's core rules into practice. Always consider the upside of apparent negatives. Take death. The upside of death is there's no more reliable profit center in life. Over the last year, we've put our stamp on it. Now we can say Apple owns death. For countless millennia, humans have merely died. Not anymore. The same discerning consumers who made us the number one tech company on Earth will now I die. Today, Apple launches a new end-of-life product line called iTunes. iTunes do away with all the fuss and drudgery of death. Here's how the system works. Apple's new iCremate technology turns your loved one into carbon atoms in nanoseconds. The sacred remains are then encased in a sleek, full-screen, 2-square-meter rectangular pod, the iTomb. With Apple's new iDeath 3D imaging app, he or she appears to be inside the iTomb, even though it's only 4 centimeters thick. And you can choose whether you want your loved one alive and well, sleeping, reading, listening to music, enjoying a meal, or even, if you so wish, actually dead. After the optional memorial, Apple offers services ranging from an eye wake to sitting eye shiva. The eye tomb simply becomes the headstone, eliminating graves, earth, flowers, worms, urns, long black cars, skulls, depressing armbands, all that morbid crap we associate with death. iTunes are forever, showing in living, glasses-free 3D 4K color, wins, weddings, artifacts, Facebook posts, pets, whatever a family chooses from the loved one's life. With an iTunes, no one ever really dies. You can interact with loved ones until you too I die and enter your own I tomb. And so on for all eternity. And at Apple, we say amen to that.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Recently, the biggest news story is, of course, that the New York Times has discovered that men exist, breaking five-year-old story after five-year-old story. So, as all of your favorite scumbags get accused, it's frankly led to some of the most sanctimonious, least funny episodes of Louis yet. So, when we went to book a stand-up comic for this episode of The Final Edition, I wanted to get one free from scandal, whose material and attitude wouldn't make women uncomfortable. Unfortunately, that one guy wasn't available, so please welcome abusive comic Harris Hogg.
Thanks, Toots. Now, as everyone who follows me on Twitter knows, at Poonhound6969, relax, it's a joke. I was recently accused of making unwanted advances against several women. I just want to say publicly that I admire women in comedy, and while I have no memory of the incidents in question, if they made anyone feel less than the wonderful people they are, I sincerely apologize. Now, can we just stop all this queer shit and just be funny?
What? That's a non-apology apology. You didn't fess up to doing it or take any responsibility.
Wow. What a drama queen. Is it your time of the month, sweetheart? But for real, though, you're way too hot to be a feminist.
Okay, oh my God, you just did it again.
What? I know that we're supposed to be hashtag believe all women, but I'm afraid that this falls into 3% of accusations that are misreported every year.
Are you kidding me? Everyone just heard you accuse me of being on my period for having an opinion and then hit on me live on the radio.
Well, all I can say is that I have no memory of the incident in question. And if I made you feel any less than the amazing and sexy woman you are, totes my bad.
Okay, you can't say that you don't remember. It happened literally 10 seconds ago. I don't know if you're trying to gaslight me or you're just an idiot or more likely both. You need to deal with your issues with women.
You know, dull butt, you're absolutely correct. Everyone, this is the hardest thing I've ever had to do. But I can't live this lie any longer. I am a sex addict.
Okay, first of all, no you fucking aren't. You just like having sex. And second, that doesn't give you the right to treat women this way.
Haven't I been punished enough? I haven't been able to find work since these accusations came to light.
What work? It happened like a minute ago.
I'm a white male sex addict. I should be getting invited to open mics every 45 seconds.
Yeah, that tracks. But still, okay, you very publicly made a lot of women feel unsafe. Shouldn't there be consequences for that?
My act has nothing to do with my personal life. I tell jokes about how trans people cost us the election. You millennials need to separate the art from the artist.
Okay, that's what we're doing. We're throwing away the art and holding the artist accountable.
Come on. Don't I deserve a second chance? I voted for Hillary.
No, you didn't.
You're right. I wrote in Bernie. But I would have voted for Hillary if there had been a do-over. Because Trump, that guy's bad.
Look, I don't care what your politics are. You treat women like property, and I'm glad that we're finally saying enough.
Ooh, shut up, sugar tits. This is from Louis C.K. It says that no one cares anymore, and he's asked me to open for Madison Square Garden.
Ugh, get the fuck out of here. Fucktard Harris Hogg, everyone.
Peace, bitches. Oh, come on, you PC snowflakes. It was a joke. Unwad your panties.
Ugh. Hey, John. Hey, Barry. Be careful in the green room. There's a comic back there, and he is a real asshole.
Oh, no. Don't worry, Sam. We murdered him just now.
Oh, great.
Yep. Stabbed him a couple times.
Yeah, Sam. He tried to touch my dick. So we killed him. Murdered him in cold blood. And you know what the fucked up thing is? If we went to the cops, they'd believe me. Like, they'd have no problem with it. They'd just take my word for it, and they'd go, yep, he deserved to die because he tried to touch your dick. Because I'm a man.
Sweet. So, who should we kill next?
It could be anyone. Even you. So, the next time you're alone in a hotel room with a woman, even your wife, don't masturbate in front of her. Because, Jesus, of course not. The fuck is wrong with you?
And now the further adventures of
Slash Frontload, Chainsaw Avenger.
Charlottesville, Virginia, August 12th, 2017.
White lives matter. White lives matter. White lives matter.
You know, I'll never understand why you guys want to celebrate traitors so badly. You don't see many statues of Benedict Arnold around here, do you?
What the? What are you, Antifa?
Nope. While a broad coalition of groups, a significant number of Antifa are anti-government anarchists who look for any chance to stir things up. Me? I'm a fictional representation of the left's impotent rage against anti-American thugs like you.
So, you're a liberal pussy?
I'm not a liberal, I'm a leftist. Now, where's the guy who rammed his car into a crowd and killed Heather Heyer?
You know, there are more socially responsible and appropriate ways to respond to tragedies such as these rather than listening to this garbage. I mean, you could speak out against white nationalists by writing an editorial to your local newspaper. Or you could challenge people you know who make racist and culturally insensitive jokes when they think no one is listening. Or you could probably...
Hey, Barry, It's not going to work. If they haven't done it by now, they're not going to.
What?
Well, here we are. Another year, another holiday season. The whole family is sitting around the table again. And our son Jimmy is back from Case Western Reserve University.
I'm having so much fun attending college in the Great Lakes region of Eastern Ohio. But I couldn't miss the holidays with my family.
And your father just got a promotion at work. We have so much to be thankful for this year.
Hey, every 50 cents an hour helps.
And so let us join hands and give thanks to that God that we all believe in for the most sacred and magical holiday of the year. National Cheeseburger Day!
If you'll allow me to lead us all in prayer. Dear that God we all believe in, thank you for this big bounty of Max, and may you bestow upon us many quarter pounds of happiness. Amen.
Amen.
That was nice, Dad. Very sacred.
Hey, if today is National Cheeseburger Day, does that make both yesterday and tomorrow National Sesame Seed Bun Days?
I don't quite get that. Wouldn't that make today National Two All Beef Patties, Special Sauce, Lettuce, Cheese, Pickles, Onions Day?
Shut up, Jimmy.
Hey, let's not fight on a holiday.
Don't you tell me to shut up. Jason, you're not even my real dad.
Yeah, I'm not, Jimmy. Your real dad is a scumbag doing 15 at San Quentin for robbing a church rec center.
Fuck you. He was framed by that priest, Father McGillicuddy.
Can't we all just have one National Cheeseburger Day where we sit and eat cheeseburgers like a family who loves each other?
Now you've done it, you snotty little shit. You made your mother cry.
I should have stayed at Case Western with my lovers.
My salary pays for that college, and no one loves you. Never forget that.
Wow, another banner fucking year for the Bender family.
Don't you quote Breakfast Club at me. I was in the Breakfast Club.
Yeah, Jason, we all know you played an extra in the Breakfast Club. You know who cares? Definitely not Molly Ringwald.
Hey, you want me to call Anthony Michael Hall? Because we're still friends.
Man, screw this and screw you. I'm out of here, and I'm taking the car.
Don't you take my car. Hey, I said don't take my car. Jimmy, damn it. I mean it. Do not take my car. Son of a bitch.
Hey, everybody down there, shut the fuck up. I have my graveyard shift at the graveyard in 3 hours.
Yeah, fuck you, Quentin. We all have to live in this building. And don't think I don't know you ran over my cat.
Shut up, shut up, shut up.
Well, I'm not letting these burgers go to waste. Oh, ma'am, Those guys at McDonald's, they know what they're doing.
Oh, I'm that God we all believe in. Merry National Cheeseburger Day from the Final Edition.
Cheeseburger in paradise. Heaven on earth with an onion slice.
Looking for psychological advice from an experienced financial analyst? You're tuned to Alwood Markham, former bond trader with Bear Stearns. Are you lonely? Depressed? Call in and talk about money.
Hello, caller. You're on the air with Alwood Markham.
Hi. I was recently the victim of a home invasion robbery, and I can't stop reliving it. The other night, I hit my wife in my sleep. I swear to God, I didn't mean to. I'm so ashamed of myself.
Well, caller, I could see you're really suffering. But I just want you to keep in mind that the current slowdown in the stock market, it's just a temporary dip. In the long run, we're looking at a reduction in regulations, and that's more profits down the road.
Wow, that is good news.
You're damn right it is. Next caller, you're on the air with Alwood Markham, financial analyst.
Yeah, I'm really worried about my mom. She's never been on her own before, and the other day I dropped by and she was yelling at someone. Just horrible things. But I walked in and she was alone. I think she was just yelling at herself.
Well, this is a new time in your mother's life. The elderly, they often feel helpless. But most of all, they prefer safe, low-risk investments with steady dividends. I'd say large banks are a very good stock for her. You know, tell your mom if she ever feels isolated, call me anytime. And I'll sell her one real honey of a stock.
Will do.
All right, caller number three. This is Alwood Markham. I know Warren Buffett personally. How can I help you with your personal problems?
I was recently diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia.
Stop right there. I know where this is going. You want to get involved with Bitcoin.
I knew it. You can hear my thoughts.
Are you thinking about bond yields?
No, I'm thinking about making people's heads implode.
Oh. Then I guess those aren't your thoughts.
This has been Alwood Markham, psychological counseling from a hard-charging financial analyst.
Attention passengers, this is final boarding call for flight 177 to Dallas-Fort Worth. Final boarding call.
Hey, is anyone sitting here?
No, go ahead.
Thanks. So you're just visiting Portland?
I live there, so heading home.
Oh.
You?
Oh, my best friend is getting married there.
Attention passengers, flight 492 is service to Portland. The plane will be pulling into the gate in approximately 10 minutes. Please stand by for passenger boarding.
Who gets married in Portland?
Well, him and his fiancée live there, so I guess them.
Sure, but never in my life would I get married there.
Again, final boarding call for flight 177 to Dallas-Fort Worth. Final boarding call.
True, they're both fairly new to the area, so they're probably still into that Oregon charm thing, you know?
Well, for me, I'd want to get married somewhere I didn't live, but I'm kind of over Oregon.
Attention passengers, the flight 492 with passage to Portland. The plane is being prepared for all passengers by stocking plenty of peanuts and pretzels, which will be purchasable for a puny price.
Wow, the lady making those announcements sure does pop her peas a lot.
I was just about to say the same thing. What's with that?
Attention passengers progressing to Portland. Pre-boarding will proceed periodically. Please promenade post-haste to the path of the plane so we may depart punctually.
Okay, she's doing this on purpose. No one would naturally use any of those words to describe anything.
Right? It's getting annoying.
Attention passengers progressing to Portland. Will passengers Parker Posey, Priscilla Presley, Paul Pierce, Pink, and all members of the Pussycat Dolls please parade to the counter at a pronto pace, perhaps?
She is really going crazy with those peas.
Also, all those celebrities that happen to have the letter P in their name cannot really be on our flight.
Nope, there they are.
Oh, wow, you're right.
Attention, Portland passengers. Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers. A peck of pickled peppers Peter Piper picked. If Peter Piper picked a peck of pickled peppers, where's the peck of pickled peppers Peter Piper picked?
That had nothing to even do with the flight.
Who is this woman? Is she going to be doing this the whole flight, too?
It makes me not even want to go back to
Okay, for real, this is the final boarding call for Dallas-Fort Worth. If anyone wants to go to Dallas-Fort Worth, get on the plane now.
Hey, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Yes. Call
go to
the
Dallas-Fort
bomb
Worth
to the
instead.
Airport.
Wait, what?
Huh?
Attention, Portland passengers. Please pick up your personal paraphernalia and plan to party as our plane is primed to depart. And for your pleasure, I will personally be your transportation partner for the period of your pilgrimage to Portland, as I partake in performing the paperback versions of Peter Pan and Pride and Prejudice in a powerful private patter.
Yeah, I'm gonna go to Texas.
Calling in the bomb threat now.
And now the National Lampoon's Final Edition presents You Know Who Ain't Shit? With Candace Martellaro.
You know who ain't shit? Babies. Babies have no respect for people in general, and for me in specific. I went home over the hiatus, and apparently had a new nickname. My sister's baby, if you want to call it that, heard somebody call me Candace and repeated back, Kiki. Then all of the adults in the room looked at me and said, "Look, the baby gave you a nickname. You are Kiki now." You hear that silence? That's me being motherfucking dumbfounded. Just the unmitigated arrogance. I mean, who the fuck are you to rename me? You've only been alive for what, a year and a half? Ever heard of respecting your elders? Babies don't name us. We name them, dummy. You know what? Maybe it's not even the baby's fault. It's yours for letting them get away with that shit. No, the baby didn't give you a nickname. You gave yourself one after she mispronounced it one damn time. No, my name is not Kiki. It's Aunt Motherfucking Candace. Or Miss Martellaro if you're nasty. Because that baby is going to grow up to be one of those idiots who's like, "Oh no, my peepaw died." And then I'm the asshole because I can't take a person who says peepaw seriously? Come on, you're a grown woman. Peepaw? So to all the titis, mimas, peepaws, roros, kikis, momies, nanas, jojos, and boo-boos out there, grow the fuck up and tell that baby what your name is.
And that was You Know Who Ain't Shit with Kiki Martellaro.
It's Candace.
Everybody loves a baby, that's why I'm in love with you. Pretty baby, and I'd like to be your sister, brother, dad, and mother too. Pretty baby, won't you come and let me rock you in my cradle of love, and we'll cuddle all the time. Oh, I want a loving baby, and it might as well be you. Pretty baby of mine.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour. The voices of the Final Edition are performed by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Keith Saltahanes, Tony Hindra, Gil Barron, Ben Kirchner, John Gutierrez, Samantha Gerwitz, Barry Link, Sean Ari Leher, James Mount, Jeff Chrysler, John Marshall, Abby Parker, Jessica Park, Kurt Weitzman, Rachel Rauch, Andrew Danish, Candace Martellaro, Antu Shell, Rob Miller, Kayla Merrill, and Leslie Shapira. The Final Edition Radio Hour is written by Kit Lively, Samantha Gerwitz, Candace Martellaro, Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Tony Hindra, Rob Gordon, Jeff Chrysler, John Marshall, Barry Link, James Mount, Gil Barron, Ben Kirchner, John Gutierrez, Jessica Park, Kurt Weitzman, Leslie Shapira, Melinda Hughes, Jeremy Rayburn, Steve Rosenfield, and Peter Kleinman. The Final Edition Radio Hour is produced and directed by Tony Hindra and Jeff Chrysler, West Coast production by Barry Link. Audio edited by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of the Final Edition Radio Hour, copyright 2014.